Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Cry for Revival and Reformation conference call. My name is Tapasri Daniels, and I will be hosting and speaker for the call this evening. We praise God that you are able to join us. The reason for our call is a response to this quote found in Review and Herald, March 22, 1887, that says, "A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give his Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work, by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer, to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessing." Again, that's Review and Herald, March 22, 1887. This evening, directly following the call, we'll be opening the phone line for about 15 minutes to allow for praises to God or comments regarding something you have heard tonight or maybe in previous calls. If you have questions regarding either tonight's message or previous, please email us at cryrevival@gmail.com. Again, that's cryrevival@gmail.com. We will provide more details regarding the period for testimonies at the end of the call. I'd like to invite you at this time to grab a pen and your notebook to take notes for your review. At this time, we'll be pleased this evening with a song from Brother Mark Bim. The name of the song is "Fill My Cup, Lord." Please meditate on these words.
Okay, so I'm going to sing "Fill My Cup." Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world that are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So, my children, if the things that this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, our blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me.
There are many accounts of revivals post-Pentecost on record, and a study of these brings wonderful light and glorious inspiration to the thirsty soul seeking for revival and reformation in their lives. There is the Moravian Revival of the 1700s, the Great Second Advent Movement of the mid-1800s, the India Revival of the early 1900s, and the Hebrides Revival of 1949 to 1952, just to name a few. Today, we will take a closer look at some of these revivals. We will consider more closely the wonderful experiences of God's special outpouring of His Spirit amongst His people, even within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What did these revivals entail? What led to these special outpourings? What were some of the special features of the revival and the impact in the lives of those who experienced it? All of these we will explore. We will consider three revivals this evening in total. First, we will look at the Moravian Revival of 1727, the Hebrides Revival of 1949 to 1952, and the Indian Creek Pentecostal outpouring within the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 2009. First, the Moravians, a refugee colony from Bohemia, settled on the estates of Count Nicholas Zinzendorf in Herrnhut, Germany, where a powerful revival began in 1727. It launched 100 years of continuous prayer, and within 25 years, 100 Moravians became missionaries, more than the Protestant Church had sent out in 200 years. Just who were the Moravians, you may ask? The Moravian Brethren sprung from the labors and martyrdom of the Bohemian reformer John Huss, who many of us have read about, even in the Great Controversy. They had experienced centuries of persecution. Many had been killed, imprisoned, tortured, or banished from their homeland. This group had fled for refuge to Germany, where the young Christian nobleman, Count Zinzendorf, offered them asylum on his estates in Saxony. They named their new home Herrnhut, which meant the Lord's Watch. What led to this revival amongst the Moravians? The spirit of prayer filled Count Zinzendorf early in his young ministry. At his encouragement, prayer groups began to form amongst the disunified religious factions located on the island. They were deeply divided and critical of one another. Heated controversies threatened to disrupt the community. The majority was from the ancient Moravian Church of the Brethren. Other believers attracted to Herrnhut included Lutherans, Reformed, and Baptists. They argued about predestination, holiness, and baptism. But on May 12, 1727, Count Zinzendorf encouraged the adults of the various factions to sign a document. This document encouraged them to acknowledge the points they had in common versus those that separated them and to work together to serve the Lord. By July 16, 1727, 28 days before the Holy Spirit fell upon the island, significant movements were made for purpose prayer. The Holy Spirit began to build a sense of unity, grace, and supplication amongst them. Groups covenanted to meet together at specified times for prayer and hymns. By August 5th, an all-night prayer meeting was had with great blessing to all in attendance. By August 10th, approximately 3 months from the dated agreement, the Holy Spirit began to bless the people with drops of rain. It is stated on August 10th, Pastor Roth, while leading the service at Hernhut, was overwhelmed by the power of the Lord about noon. He sank down into the dust before God, and so did the whole congregation. They continued till midnight in prayer and singing, weeping, and praying. But these were just drops, a foretaste of what God would soon do. On August 13th, the people assembled for communion at the Bethersdorf Church, all dissatisfied with themselves. God had begun to give them a true sense of their unchristlikeness. They quit judging each other. They had become convinced, each one, of his unworthiness in the sight of God. Each felt himself at this communion to be in the view of the noble countenance of the Savior. The Holy Spirit had given them an exalted view of Calvary. Oh, head so full of bruises, so full of pain and scorn. With this view of the man of sorrows, so acquainted with grief, their hearts told them that he would be their patron and their priest. He was changing their tears into oil of gladness and their misery into happiness. After preparing the waiting believers in heart and mind through unity, humility, repentance, confession, and earnest prayer, the Holy Ghost came upon them with great signs and wonders demonstrated in their midst. From that time, scarcely a day passed where they did not behold his almighty workings amongst them. They stated, "A great hunger of the Word of God took possession of us so that we had to have three services every day, 5 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and 9 o'clock p.m. Everyone desired above everything else that the Holy Spirit might have full control. Self-love and self-will, as well as all disobedience, disappeared, and an overwhelming flood of grace swept us all out into the great ocean of divine love." Isn't that beautiful? Is this your desire? It goes on to state, they were changed into happy people, which they remained until the time in which the article was written. They have led many thousands into this same experience by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit. This Spirit was given to them and was continually poured out to them 1,000 times since. Count Zinzendorf stated, "The Savior permitted to come upon us a spirit of whom we had no experience or knowledge. Before this, we had been the leaders and helpers. Now, the Holy Spirit himself took full control of everything and everybody." John Greenfield, Power from On High. It is of special notice that the Holy Spirit did not only fall on August 13, 1727, but he continued to fall, as stated, 1,000 times since. They went on to produce more missionaries in a 25-year period than Protestantism had done in a 200-year period. What happened after the 13th? Is equally important to what happened before and on the 13th. For on the 26th of August, 13 days after the outpouring, 24 men and 24 women covenanted together to continue praying in intervals of 1 hour each, day and night. Each hour was allocated by lots to different people. Others joined the intercessors, and the number involved increased to 77. They all carefully observed the hour which had been appointed for them. The intercessors had a weekly meeting where prayer needs were given to them. It is stated that even the children were moved to prayer and started a similar prayer relay amongst themselves. This relay of prayer became known as the hourly intercession and lasted for about 100 years. What was the impact of the revival in the life of the Moravians? John Wesley, the reformer, took especial notice of these people. If we remember, Wesley had been seeking sanctification and holiness most diligently, but not finding the secret to subdue the evils of his natural heart. On a voyage to America in the company of a group of Moravians, he observed the great seriousness of their behavior. Of their humility, they had given a continual proof. Every day had given occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could not move. He also observed their deliverance from pride, anger, revenge, and fear. One day, during their voyage to America, in the middle of a religious service held aboard the ship, the boat was suddenly caught by turbulent seas, with the waves crashing over the boat, threatening to pull them down to a watery grave. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Moravians calmly continued with the worship service, lifting their voices in song. When asked later by Brother Wesley, "Were you afraid?" he answered, "I thank God, no." Brother Wesley then asked, "But were not your women and children afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." John Wesley became thoroughly convinced that what they had, he did not have, and he wanted it. Great Controversy, page 255. So we see, the secret of the Moravians' powerful testimony of sanctification and deliverance from the power of sin lies in their receiving the Holy Spirit. Their lives were also, undergirded by hourly prayer. The next revival that I would like to consider is the Hebrides revival of 1949 to 1952. The Hebrides Islands are a group of islands just off the shores of Scotland. God used two sisters, Peggy Smith, who was 84 and also blind, and Christine Smith, who was 82 and doubled over by arthritis. Because of their health challenges, they were unable to attend the local churches. They were acquainted, though, with the spirit of worldliness pervading the churches and the spirit of pleasure that had taken hold of their young people on their beloved island. They began to pray at home every day, claiming God's promise in Isaiah 44, verse 3. "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Excuse me. God began to move and rewarded one of the sisters with a vision of what he was going to do on the island. She saw the churches being filled with young people. Encouraged, they joined in prayer with one of the local pastors and his elders. They prayed twice a week between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., claiming the promise of Isaiah 44:3 for 3 months straight. God's Spirit moved on an elder in one of those prayer meetings to surrender their hearts. The door was then open for God's Spirit to begin moving on the island. A preacher by the name of Duncan Campbell was invited to the island. He planned to preach for 2 weeks, but ended up staying for 3 years as the Spirit of God began to convert the islands of Hebrides and all the other islands associated with it. Pastor Campbell states, "One night, after having preached a few days, the church was full, and the Spirit of God was moving in such a way that I couldn't preach. I just stood still and gazed upon the wondrous moving of God. Men and women were crying out to God for mercy all over the church. There was no appeal made whatsoever. After meeting for over 3 hours, I pronounced the benediction and told the people to go out, but mentioned that any who wanted to continue the meeting could come back later. Preparing to leave, it was brought to his attention that a group of 600 who had not been able to enter were under conviction on the lawn, and a busload of young people were on their way to the meeting. As the season of outpouring progressed, Pastor Campbell was called to another nearby island. A few on the island wanted him there, but most were resistant to a new birth experience in Christ. A group of brethren, along with Pastor Campbell, began to supplicate God's throne for the island, continuing to present the promise in Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. One night, one of the praying believers, once again moved on by the Spirit of God, pressed his petition to the throne of grace as the importunate widow who would not take no for an answer. Luke 18, verse 1 through 7. Pastor Campbell states, and in that moment, the stone-built house literally shook like a leaf. I immediately went to the story of Pentecost, where it is recorded that they prayed, and the place where they were assembled was shaken, Acts 4:31. As soon as this dear man stopped praying, I pronounced a benediction a little after 2 o'clock in the morning and went out to find the whole village ablaze with God. I went into one house and found 9 women on their knees in the kitchen crying out to God. One woman saved that night has written some of the finest Gaelic hymns in our Gaelic hymnal. On the following Sunday, the road was black with the people walking 2 miles to the church. The drinking house in that particular village closed that night and has never reopened since. This is God at work. A God-sent revival is always a revival of holiness. Many who were impacted by the revival and reformation in Hebrides during this time gave their lives to the service of the Lord, becoming missionaries at home and abroad in foreign fields. Revivallibrary.org, when the mountains flowed down. The last outpouring I would like to consider this evening happened in our church back in 2009. It took place at a pastor's meeting for the South Central Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. The meetings were held at Indian Creek Camp, owned by the Kentucky-Tennessee Conference. One of the subjects presented during the 4-day meeting was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with an emphasis on prayer. Much prayer went into the planning of the event. There was a prayer team who prayed for each minister before the meeting and with each speaker just before they spoke. There was much prayer during the event. The pastors were challenged to take seriously the need for the Spirit's baptism, the need to renounce all sin with a willingness for total obedience in lifestyle and ministry, and the need for thirst and desire for the Spirit's infilling. What was the result? Sunday night, as stated by an attendee, many of the pastors during united prayer began experiencing difficulty, which led many other pastors to begin interceding for them. Pastors began confessing their wrongs and seeking to make things right between themselves and their fellow pastors. Praises to God were expressed. The organizers, realizing God was answering their prayers before their eyes, recommended everyone to fall on their knees and claim the promise of the baptism of the Spirit. This was followed by an intense crying out to God and deep earnestness to be filled with His Spirit. Monday, God continued to bless with His presence. Many rejoiced in what God was doing, but felt He had more in store. By Tuesday, the Holy Spirit had completely taken over the meeting schedule. The conference president began praying, all gathered around him, laying hands on him and each other. The Holy Spirit took over his prayer, and we all felt in the presence of God. Tears flowed. Following that prayer, men and women present were praising God, embracing each other, and praying together in small groups. Just before lunch that afternoon, all gathered to have a closing prayer. One pastor spoke up and said he felt the Lord wanted to seal this experience with a miracle, and he prayed for God to do just that. To this prayer, God responded by delivering a man from unforgiveness supernaturally and healing a woman from arthritis who walked amongst the pastors singing God's praises. When lunchtime came, many stated, "We didn't want to leave the room. It was the upper room of Pentecost. We were experiencing Pentecost and didn't want it to stop." Some were so filled with the Spirit they couldn't even eat lunch. Everyone was basking in the blessings the Spirit had poured out on us. We were filled with thankfulness to God for blessing us with His presence in such a manner that words cannot express. I even heard numerous pastors say that they could now die and be content. SpiritBaptism.org, Pentecost at Indian Creek. In summary, we see that earnest prayer, preparing of our hearts, and the presenting of God's promises has brought the promised blessing of God. As we give consideration to God's summary of our greatest need, we have abundant encouragement available to simply meet the conditions and to ask. God is eager to pour out His Holy Spirit. God says, in comparison to parents wanting to give good gifts to children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Luke 11:13. Let us pray. Father in heaven, You said You would pour water on the thirsty. Lord, as we have seen abundant examples of what You have done in times past and even not so far gone. And Lord, You want to do this for us. You must do this for us in order for us to be able to be prepared for Your soon return. Father, I am asking with my brethren and my sisters that You would give us this experience, dear God. I ask, dear God, that You would remove every hindrance, move upon our hearts. If we don't have the desire, give us the desire to want this experience. Encourage our hearts. Help us to see that it's either this experience or nothing. We ask all of this according to Your promise. If we would ask, we would receive. We believe You've heard our prayer, helped our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to thank you so much for joining the call this evening. As was mentioned at the beginning, directly following this call, there will be a special time for praises to God or comments regarding tonight's message or previous messages. At the end of the call, you will hear a brief moment of music. We will then shortly resume the call and open the phone lines. We wish you a wonderful week. Have a good night if you are on the East Coast. Have a good evening if you are on the West Coast. May God bless you. Bye for now. Thank you. Okay, so we are back. Let us begin our period of testimony with just a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just like to invite your presence to be here with us as we offer praise of thanksgiving or just comments of what's on our heart. We pray that your spirit would just be present to take control of every aspect and to bless us. Receive our praise as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to request that each one of you, if there's anyone who would like to share, to keep your testimonies very, very, very brief. We only wanted to open this up for about 15 minutes. And so if maybe, I don't know if everyone would like to share, but maybe keep your testimony to about a minute, minute and a half. If we have a little extra time, maybe if there's only three or four people, we can lengthen it. I'd like to see how many people would like to share. If there's anyone who would like to share, I'd like for you to press star 6, and that will basically raise your hand and let us know that you are interested in sharing. So please press star 6 at this time if you are interested in sharing. So we're just waiting to see how many are interested in sharing.
We've got at least one, two.
Okay. So I see that there are a few of us. So maybe some of you are just kind of waiting to see how this might go, and you might be motivated later. But let's just go with what we have. Remember, I'd like for you to keep it to either praise or comments. To either the message that you've heard this evening or messages in the past. If you have any questions, I'd like for you to send your questions to cryrevival@gmail.com and to reserve this time for just praise and or comments. So at this time, we're going to unmute our first caller, and I'd like to invite you to share. But before you share, if you wouldn't mind, please tell us your name and where you're calling from just so that we can begin building a little bit of community. Please share at this time.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to thank the Lord for putting it upon your heart, Sister Daniels, to commence with this revival and reformation call. I know it is timely because about a year, a little over a year ago, the Lord clearly showed me that although I had been going to church all of my life, I was greatly lacking in true repentance. As a matter of fact, he showed me that I really had never known what true repentance was. And so he began to work upon my heart, and he put on my heart to actually start studying the subject of repentance. I had read the book Steps to Christ several times, but I recognized that I was still very destitute and ignorant of the experience that she was speaking of. And even when I would read in the testimonies and, you know, Sister White would reference how they had such a sweet joy and peace and I recognized that I had never really experienced that. So I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. I also want to thank him for the individuals that he has placed in my pathway over the last several months that are desirous of coming closer to the Lord. And I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters, especially any that might have been like myself, that have been raised in the midst of Adventism, the education, as well as attending church every week. I recognize that I had bought into a false concept that by virtue of being a member of the church meant that I had automatically come to repentance. Or I thought just dropping on my knees saying, Lord, please forgive me, was repentance. And the Lord has clearly shown me, and I am so grateful because he is now revealing to me and showing me and changing me, transforming my heart, and I'm experiencing the sweetest joy and peace that I've ever known. So I just want to give God that praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing that. Beautiful. All righty. We'd like to invite our next caller to please share at this time.
Hi, this is Sister Monica from.
Yes, go ahead, Sister Monica.
Maine. I want to say how much I was blessed by the references to prayer tonight, and how much prayer played a role in these revivals. And it's convicting me that I need to pray more.
Amen.
And maybe that urge to go to prayer retreat in the spring is really coming from him.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm so glad that the Lord allowed you to see that. I saw that too in the message regarding prayer. Thank you. We'll go to our next caller. Please share at this time.
Yes, I want to give praise to the Lord for the message, for the history, for there has been a craving in my heart to have the Holy Spirit rule in my life and to see, I would say modern day, even 1700s. I've heard a little of the story of the Moravians, but the history, I praise the Lord for it was written down. To recognize that prayer is the key that opens heaven's storehouse, and that I need to pray more. But the message helped to open the way in my own experience and in our little church, ideas, and it's in the Word, but God just needs to have people to share it. And so I praise the Lord for the work that you and your husband are doing, Tabasuri and Brother Daniels, to cry revival and reformation. I praise God for it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate all of your testimonies. We praise God for all that he is doing. And even for those who have not shared, just by the mere fact that you have lingered, let us know that your heart is still there. And so we just pray that this little testimony time was a blessing for everyone, and we will strive to do this again as often as God allows. Let us just close with another brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we give all praise and honor and glory to you for what you are doing in each one of our hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you will continue to minister these truths to us and cause them to bring forth much fruit of righteousness in our lives. We ask all these things according to your promise. If we would ask, we would receive. We believe you've heard our prayer, helped our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All righty. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday. How pale thou art with anger.
which once was bright as morn. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered, 'twas all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy face. Thy grace.